Here we are this morning celebrating that death has been arrested, that we who have faith in Jesus Christ have the promise and the hope of eternity because Jesus rose from the dead. The grave is empty, and today he is alive. So as we've gathered together in person and online, we just want to thank you for the incredible promise and gift of Jesus Christ our Lord, the one who defeated death and has given us eternal life. So we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The kids can now go to kids' collection. It's kind of the same, right? You know, it's kind of the same. Kids' connection, okay. Good. He is risen. Amen to that. Isn't it just amazing if you think about it, absolutely think about it, that all around the world, be it today or if they follow the Orthodox calendar, it's going to be another week or so away, that people, millions of people, are celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing to think that if there's any continuity between different languages, different people, different demographics, different whatever, social structure, different political leanings, everything, that we have one thing in common, and that is Jesus. Isn't that amazing? Of all the things that we struggle with to unify ourselves, humanly speaking, Jesus is the one unifier that we can all celebrate together this morning. I think that's just an amazing thing. Now, before I get into content this morning, I know Richard brought this up in the announcements or strategic communication, but I just want to remind you that next week we're starting a brand new series called Hearing Jesus. And this is a series, and we're starting our life groups. So we do sermon-based life groups here at Village Green. If I could just encourage you to be part of that, I'm really excited for that series. There's lots of things in the Gospels that Jesus said, and he used it intentionally to test whether or not people were really hearing what he was saying. And it was a way of opening up people to the spiritual realities that Jesus was bringing to each and every one of us, okay? So I'm really looking forward to the series. I hope you are too, but I'm looking forward to today's message as well. We're going to look at a passage out of the Gospel of Luke. Now, what I really like about this particular passage, and we're not reading all of it, I'm going to just pull out a few verses. But after Jesus walked out of the grave, after he was resurrected, he ended up walking alongside two men who were heading to the town of Emmaus, just outside Jerusalem. And what was really fascinating about these two men is that they were followers of Jesus, and they had heard that the tomb was empty. And they didn't recognize Jesus when he kind of come up beside them, and Jesus kind of goes, "Hey guys, what's going on?" And they're going like, "Where have you been?" Like that, it's kind of like what they said to Jesus, "Where have you been? Haven't you heard what's happened in Jerusalem?" And Jesus is like playing along, you know, he's going, "No, what?" Okay. By the way, I don't know how many times you've read this portion of Luke, but there's a little bit of comedy going on, okay? It's kind of some funny stuff going on, but anyway. So Jesus says, "Tell me, what's going on? Well, where have you been?" Because they crucified Jesus, the one that we thought was going to be the Messiah, the one that we thought was going to liberate Israel from the Romans and change everything. And Jesus is walking alongside, and he sort of says to them, or what the text says, which is really kind of cool. I would love to have been there. You know, have you ever thought of yourself, if you could travel back in time, is there a place or you know, one of the places I would love to kind of get landed in and kind of walk alongside. And here is Jesus teaching these two men everything that the Old Testament said about the Messiah. That would have been an incredible Bible study. Incredible by Jesus himself teaching these two guys what the entire Old Testament said about him and, you know, the suffering servant of Isaiah 53. It would have been such a powerful, powerful time together. And then night falls. It's time to, you know, go down for the night. And Jesus goes to walk away, and they said, no, it's late at night. Why don't you just stay with us for the evening? And when they sat together and sat for the evening, they broke bread together. And it's then that the men recognized who Jesus was. And it says that Jesus just kind of got up and disappeared. And they're like, oh my goodness, I can't believe it. So these two men end up back with the other disciples, and they're telling the other disciples what had happened. We can't believe, but the risen Lord was with us, and it was just an incredible experience. And all of a sudden, in the midst of those two men from Emmaus talking to the rest of the disciples, all of a sudden, Jesus shows up and goes, peace with you. Imagine. This is, and of course, they're scared. They become frightened because they think it's a ghost, okay? There's a whole theology there, all right? I'm not going to get into it, but like, what's this ghost thing, okay? But anyway, I want to just pick up and read a few passages right after that as Jesus shows up and they're all afraid. This is what Jesus says. Why are you frightened? He asked. Why are your hearts filled with doubt? Look at my hands. Look at my feet. You can see that it's really me. Touch me and make sure that I am not a ghost, because ghosts don't have bodies. All right, okay. As you see that I do. So Jesus has a physical body. Do you know why that's important, by the way, in that day and age, right? With the rise of even Greek philosophy taught, and Gnosticism later on picks this up, that what is physical is not necessarily good. What is spiritual is the best. So a lot of arguments later on came up that if Jesus was physical, okay, would not have been very healthy spiritually, because only Jesus could have raised himself spiritually. But Jesus shows here that this is a bodily resurrection, you know, speaking against the early philosophies and the early Gnosticism that was, you know, prominent in the latter half of the first and second century. And as he spoke, he showed them his hands and his feet. Here's the passage I want to just really dig in a few minutes. Starting at verse 41, this is what we are told. Still, they stood there in disbelief, filled with joy and wonder. Isn't that a great summary sentence right there? There they stood in disbelief, filled with joy and wonder. Then he asked them, do you have anything to eat? that's funny. That's funny. They're like jaws dropped on the floor, can't believe what they're experiencing, joy and wonder and all this kind of stuff. And Jesus goes, hey, I'm famished. Right? You guys got anything to eat? You know? So they give him some fish, right? And this is my kind of warped sense of humor. I can see Jesus sitting there eating and all this stuff, and they're all kind of going. And Jesus is like eating away, and he's going, what? You know what I mean? You know? I've been tied up for 3 days. I'm hungry. You know what I mean? Like this is, I think they're shocked because it's just so normal. So normal. people who rise from the dead, like, should be on a platform, should be, you know, like all kinds of the band playing, all of this kind of stuff. How'd you do it? Blah, blah, blah. But he's eating. It's such a normal, everyday occurrence that he's hungry. Man, what a powerful statement about the power of God to do something so extraordinary and yet so normal. And yet so normal. So they gave him a piece of broiled fish and he ate it as they watched. I love that line. I really love that line that they stood there in disbelief with joy and wonder. I could absolutely transport myself to this moment that would be exactly the way I would describe my reaction. It would be such a scene of disbelief. But because of the disbelief and because of what you're experiencing right then and there, joy and wonder have to be part of it. Because what you realize in the moment is that if this is real, if I can touch him, if he really walked out of the grave, if he really rose from the dead, if he's really sitting here right now eating in front of me, everything, what? Changes. From that moment on, nothing is ever the same. The youth in their presentation this morning, that was the classic line, right? Everything changes. Everything changes. Nothing is ever the same. You've got good Jewish men who are there who have been raised in the tradition of Judaism. They know the scriptures inside and out. The Old Testament has been closed for some 400 years. Suddenly, you know, to a teenage girl, God speaks, and he once again works in the nation after 400 years of silence. That God is doing a brand new thing. And in Judaism, they weren't quite sure about what happens when we die. They said, yeah, to those who are righteous, they go to be with Yahweh. But here, there is tangible demonstration and tangible proof that it's clarified in a way that they haven't been able to understand for so many years. You know what changes? Here's what changes. I think this is one of the things that became crystal clear to them in that moment. That death does not have the last say. Amen. That Jesus has the last say. Because when we say everything changes, we mean everything. Not just what we experience in this life, not just in this moment, not just, you know, whatever we plan for ourselves or whatever God's plan for our future or everything, but it changes absolutely everything. Many of you have experienced lost ones. Many of you. And because of Jesus being raised from the dead, we grieve because we miss them. But we have a hope that supersedes death. That death doesn't have the last say. That it doesn't close the book on your life. In fact, it opens the door to an eternal promise that Jesus made in that moment. I don't know about you, but the fact that the biggest enemy that most of us fear is death. Or speaking in public. I've always heard that statistic. I could never figure it out, but there are people who are more afraid of speaking in public than dying. Okay? So for them, the worst thing to do is to speak at a funeral, I guess. I don't know. You know, or speak at their own funeral. Like, you know what I mean? But I think that's a beautiful truth that this day represents. That whatever Death does not have the last word. Jesus does. And for those disciples, that's why they became fearless, absolutely fearless, after the resurrection and that Jesus ascended and commissioned them to go on into all the world. They weren't afraid of anything because death did not have the final say. And that's what it means to walk in newness of life. That to walk in newness of life means that we can walk right now, right here, no matter what is being thrown at us in our own lives, and know that Jesus has defeated death. That we have the eternal promise of Jesus Christ our Lord, who went before us, and shows a demonstration of what it's like to be resurrected with him. I don't know about you, but I happen to be very happy that I get to eat after all of this is done. Amen? Amen? Okay? I wonder if we can get Gord Ramsay to be my personal chef. Hey? It's possible, but he has to get there first, right? Okay, let's be fair. Has to get there first. Okay? But, man, imagine if you were one of the disciples right then in that moment, and the realization came to you as Jesus is sitting there eating, and you're in total disbelief that you're realizing, man, this changes everything. And you know what? If you're here today, I don't want you to walk out of this place. If you're watching online or anything, I don't want you to walk out of this place without recognizing that because of Jesus, everything changes. I don't know what you're going through in your life, but let me tell you, because of Jesus, everything changes. The death, once again, death what? Doesn't have the final word. Jesus does. And if there's anything more hopeful than that, I don't know what it is. I really don't know what it is. Because if there's one thing we all have in common, if it's faith in Jesus, is that we have an exit that's awaiting each and every one of us. And to know that exit is only an entrance when it comes to faith in Jesus sure alleviates a lot of the anxiety we have about that. Because Jesus has the last word, not death. Amen? He is risen. Amen. Wow. I pray that this week, as we continue to kind of celebrate Easter and the residuals from all of this, that you will take time, especially if you're a believer, to thank Jesus for what he has done for you. Because we could never have purchased this on our own, ever, even remotely. And yet Jesus willingly did it for us. Let me pray as we conclude this part of the message. Father in heaven, I just thank you for what this day represents. It changes everything. And we acknowledge that. But do we really, really feel it in the core of our being? That what Jesus has accomplished is so astounding, so amazing, so incredible, that it does change everything. That death has been vanquished. That it doesn't have the last say. That Jesus does. And when we commit ourselves to following Jesus, we have the hope and the promise of eternity because of what Jesus has accomplished for us. That he walked out of that grave fully whole, able to eat, able to experience life around him. And that is the hope that we have as well. So Lord, we commit this day to you. We thank you for the resurrection. We thank you for what Jesus has done. We thank you what this day represents. And Lord, we just are grateful with open hands and open hearts for what you have done for us. And we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.